From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
VSiN Prime Time. Live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas, here is Tim Murray and Jonathan Von Tobel.
Hour two of VSiN Prime Time. We should have an alarm for those listening with us in Nevada.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Got 1 hour. Put in your draft bets.
Stupidest rule ever. I mean, actually, there's a lot of stupid rules. I don't know if it's the stupidest rule ever, but, like, come on, stop being cowards. There's some spots where they're booking in-game draft stuff. Like, come
that
on.
Is wild. They do in-draft bets. It is absolutely wild.
I think they're like three or four picks. So, like, you know what I mean? They don't do next pick. Right. It'll be like three or four picks ahead. So they do protect that themselves a little bit, but yeah.
That's wild. If you have a state that does that, I think New Jersey might do that.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive. All right, Thorne Eyestrom has been breaking down the draft with us for quite some time, and he joins us right now on the eve of the NFL draft. I'm going to call this the Clark Griswold. His infamous quote from Christmas Vacation talking to
Clark Griswold.
Cousin Eddie. Yeah, you broke down Dragon Ball Z, but you don't know Christmas Vacation?
No.
What's wrong with you? He said, if I woke up tomorrow with my head sewn into the carpet, I wouldn't be more surprised than I am right now. What is the Clark Griswold that you are kind of feeling, but nobody else is?
Well, the J.C. Latham thing to the Chargers,
yeah,
I can absolutely
baby.
See that. Although, you know, now a couple more, you know, have tossed that out, but that would make sense with Harbaugh's prerogative if they don't trade down. I think he would also be a target if they're down, but I could see that thing at number five. The other one that I've been big on is with the first defender fading Dallas Turner. The long shots that I have on that are Quinyon Mitchell, Byron Murphy, and then he's no longer a long shot whatsoever, Latu as well. But and I know Murphy's odds have come down as well, but I'd say those are the two longer shot ones.
So as we look at this now, obviously we've talked to you a lot about J.J. McCarthy and a lot of different conversations. Things are starting to get out there. Everybody's talking about everything. I've been pretty clear, Thor. I think nobody knows anything until anything happens. So where are you feeling at right now when it comes to McCarthy, the noise around Minnesota, what could happen to the top five? Where do you stand just in terms of your thoughts? We know where you stand financially, but just in terms of your thoughts and how this has evolved in terms of the discourse.
Yeah, I think the Patriots are waiting to see what Washington does, and that will inform what, you know, what they do vis-a-vis the Vikings, whether they stick and pick. If it's Jaden Daniels is there, I wouldn't in the three slot. I imagine that pick is no longer available. But yeah, and the Vikings obviously trying to move up. But we'll see if they are able to end up doing that. And if not into the top three, what the equation's always been interesting. The other way, if you're not able to do that, what I call the calling the Giants bluff gambit, because if the Giants do not take a quarterback there, that's where the QB4 filters down a little bit lower than we have thought in all these mocks the past couple months. that would be the scenario where Kwesi is able to hold on to potentially the 23rd pick, potentially his first round pick next year. Maybe you do just the little trade up and not the one into the top three, top five. But that's, you're taking a big chance there, because you have to then sweat out those 10 minutes where New York is on the clock. You also have to sweat out Sean Payton potentially doing a move to hop up as well. But it's sort of the three-dimensional chess going on right now.
Thor Nystrom, our good friend, joining us here on the eve of the NFL draft at ThorKU. He's been breaking down all these prospects. And honestly, Thor, at this point, I want to have you back on Friday just to talk about these fits, because you've been breaking these things down and now it's so informationally based. But as you've gathered this information, you look at it's a bajillion mock drafts. I put one out too. So, you know, it's one final mock draft.
Put out two. You put out two, Thor, within 48 hours of each other. I just want to put that out there.
Tweaks.
He's a coward.
I made tweaks.
Love it. I hope you guys both entered the huddle report contest.
So I'm in.
What's the deal? I have to put it up somewhere and then I can send it in?
Yeah, you got it.
Download a thing. Tim will show you.
All right, cool. I'll put it up on VC.com tonight.
Thor?
I am. Yeah, right. For sure.
Cool.
Yeah.
But let's look at the back half of the draft or of the first round. Who's a name that you think, from your studying and also from what you've kind of heard, could find their way in, and who could find their way out, in your opinion?
Just for one example, let's go with former Georgia teammates. One guy that I could see slipping into the end of the first round that wasn't in a ton of mock drafts there is Ladd McConkey. If he's not, I think he goes in one of the first two slots on Friday night when the bell dings there. And the guy that I think is going to fall out of the first round is his former Georgia teammate, Adonai Mitchell. I have a lot of tickets in my several tickets in my portfolio of the overs on Adonai Mitchell and the not to be the first rounder with Adonai Mitchell. But I'm the other way on Ladd. I think it was 34.5 the last time I saw. Definitely going under on Ladd's slot prop.
All right. So as we sit right now, let's talk about one of the other positions of interest. The market has been pretty steady on supporting these offensive linemen to go over the mark of 9.5. Are we still there? We think we get 10 or more guys along the offensive line to go in this first round, or do you think things have changed?
It's maybe the sharpest number that the books have on any of these ones. And the books have some bad numbers on some of these other props, but the 9.5 has always been perfect. Every time I do the mock draft, you know, and I don't think about the position numbers, and, you know, it's just like you get to the team and then you make the decision. You try to put yourself in their shoes, however effective you end up being doing that. But every single time when I look back at it, it ends with either 10 or 9 offensive linemen, no matter what, throughout the weeks, throughout the months. So that number is spot on. My opinion, you can get better value on the board. It's like betting the coin flip at the Super Bowl. If you want to do that to get some action, you certainly could shade it one way or the other, but that number is spot on.
So let's get to sticking with that, because I've heard a lot of people discuss this wide receivers, and I'm with you on both of those. It's like we shared notes. A.D. Mitchell was a play that I gave out not that long ago. I didn't get the great number here at Circa. I wish I did at 17.5, but I still played over 27.5, and I felt good about that. I think I agree with you. I think he drops out of the first round. So when you look at wide receivers and the total of wide receivers, I'm looking up the exact number right now, just the juice wise. It's 6.5, but I'm curious the juice. It's continued to shift. It's -360 to the under. I was listening to Drew Dinsick was on with Gil Alexander on Beating the Book, the podcast, and he said, I forget the number he said, but he felt like this was a foregone conclusion. So what's too rich for the under 6.5 wide receivers? Because I've done this exercise a lot. I threw in, you know, Leggett at 32. It could be Worthy. It could be Mitchell. I can't get to 7 wide receivers.
Same. Yeah, I definitely think it's going under, but at the -360, that's pretty tough. I wish
really
the
rich,
book
yeah.
would modulate that thing back to 5.5 and give us juice where we can actually bet the thing one way or the other, make it interesting again. And this another one, Tim, that we haven't brought up, a guy who is wide receiver 4 on a lot of boards. He's wide receiver 5 on mine, but it has been a foregone conclusion that this guy would be a first round pick. And talent wise, absolutely he should be. But the medical questions that Brian Thomas
yep.
that have come out every single year in the draft. And I'm not saying that this will be Brian Thomas. And I'm not saying that I know what it says on Brian Thomas's medicals. And I definitely did not stay in a Holiday Inn Express last night. But we see every single year a guy mysteriously starts filtering down the board further than we ever thought he would because of medical stuff. And so every time you see the report come out about this guy's medicals that is concerning 24 hours before the draft opens, that is something to take very seriously if it is coming from a credible source. There's some smoke around that one. So just another one as far as the three-dimensional chess with the wide receivers. But I think that number should be around 5.5. I also did go over on Brian Thomas's number as a 16.5, 17.5. I'm over on that one as well.
Right now, we're in a state, Tim and I, where they're going to take this down here in 51 minutes. If you're somebody out here in Las Vegas who's only got less than an hour, what is currently playable right now that you would recommend?
Trying to think what else. If we want to go longer shots, I bet the under 4.5 quarterbacks, which I believe is around 2.5 to 1. I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah, baby.
General manager. Yeah, that he wants to put Bo Nix in the first round. And Tim, you know my opinion of if someone takes Bo Nix in the first round, what should happen to them next? Firing is not punishment enough for that person.
But... Wow, death, huh? Interesting.
also, you'll have a very unhappy friend out here in Las Vegas if he gets selected in the first
round. You're unhappy now, and it hasn't even happened
yet. I know. I need tomorrow to come by midnight Eastern. All right, sorry, I interrupted. I'm very rude.
So those would be a couple. First running back off the board, Trey Benson and Marshawn Lloyd, I think, are two looks there at the price that they are at. Trying to think of other ones. Those would just be a couple off the top of my head. Junior Colson, first linebacker at the board, would be because that one's plus money. That would be another one I'm in on.
Thor Nystrom joining us here on VSiN Primetime. Fantasy pros, betting pros. He's been crushing it with the draft as he always does at Thor KU. I don't have an opinion on this one. I mean, the juice is really rich. And I just saw Peter Schrager put out his mock draft, and he had Roma Dunze going ahead of Malik Nabers. I was just talking last hour about Malik Nabers maybe, you know, as a long shot pizza bet, maybe going number 4 ahead of Marvin Harrison. Could you see a situation of Roma Dunze going ahead of Malik Nabers?
The only scenario where I ever thought that was in play, and it still theoretically is, this goes back to the calling the Giants bluff gambit. If the Giants come on the clock and two spots before the Cardinals, they have taken Marvin Harrison Jr., and the Giants do take a receiver, I think that is a closer decision probably than has been depicted by mock drafts for them, because Roma Dunze stylistically fits what they need a little bit more. They have all those little small, you could say talent bereft receivers as well on the Giants depth chart. They could use the bigger dude that could go downfield. But Malik Nabers certainly is a little bit higher on my board, and I think on a lot of other people's boards as well. That would be the one situation where I think it would make a little bit of sense. Outside of that, though, if it was a different team up there, you know, barring a trade up, I would be pretty surprised. In my last mock draft, I had Roma Dunze at 10 to the Jets, a team I know likes him a lot.
10 seconds. Jackson Powers Johnson, first round pick?
I'm going to say no.
Okay. Thor, great stuff, man. We appreciate it, and enjoy the draft tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll talk soon.
There he is. Thor Nystrom breaking it down for us at ThorKU on Twitter.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you use paper, you're a human. But if you choose paper, you're a papertarian. Someone who lives a paper-based lifestyle because it has a positive impact on the planet. And also because it's the easiest choice you'll make all day. Seriously. It's as easy as reaching for boxed instead of bottled water. It's as easy as opting for beauty products that come in paper packaging. It's as easy as grabbing eggs in a cardboard container. And that's all in one trip to the grocery store, which, if we're being honest, you were planning to go to anyway. But paper isn't just an easy choice. Papertarians know that it's the smart choice, too. Because paper comes from trees, a renewable and sustainably managed resource. And paper products are designed to be recycled. In fact, when you choose products that come in paper-based packaging, those fibers can go on to be recycled up to 7 times. So why wouldn't you go Papertarian? I'll wait. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
This is VSiN Primetime with Tim Murray and Jonathan Von Tobel on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN.com, got a lot of great content up there. Analysis on both of the playoff games in the NBA today and the National Hockey League, as well as Tim Murray's final mock draft.
Yes.
What about that? I can have one more? Check it all out at VSiN.com.
Yucking it up over there, huh? Thanks to Thor Nystrom for jumping on the show.
Question.
Yes.
Do we have anything here? Yeah, I got a question. All right, so I will tonight build it up and put up my mock draft.
Okay.
Adam Burke, if you're watching, be prepared. I'm going to put that up. So I can enter into, what is it, Huddle Report or whatever?
Yeah, you got to email the guy. You got to get a little login joint to it.
Okay, all right. Yeah. You can walk me through that. Well, no, I know. That's what I just said. I'm going to VSiN.com. Come on, Britton. Listen, let's go. Keep up.
Do we want to go through my mock draft? My updated?
I mean, sure, but can I... Hold on a second.
Yeah,
hold
you didn't get your question.
Yeah. Let us compete. Whoever's got the best mock draft, may the best man win. And then let's put something at stake. Like, if I win, I get to punch you in the face live on air.
No.
Oh, okay.
I mean, we can do that. How do we? Well, there's weird.
Punch in the face?
No.
Oh, okay.
We could do the head to head.
He's scared of it.
That's fine.
See, look at that.
Yeah,
the confidence goes away when it's, let's go.
I don't want to be punched in the face.
I know, right? Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You were threatened by that picture I showed you
I
in my headgear.
Yeah. Intimidating.
Looming over a 4'11 man.
By the way, we're underway in Boston, Miami. Boston with a 4-3 lead over the Heat, 10-14 to go. Just underway north of the border, Toronto and Boston, that series even at one game apiece. And Toronto and Boston are
scoreless.
Yeah,
you're going to need this, actually. Let's think about this. In my short time here, I'm up 2-0 in our competition, so you're going to need this dub here.
That's fine.
I guess technically I'm up 2-1 because you did not say Bo Nix for the rest of the show yesterday. But that was like a bet as more of a competition.
Wait, there was a head-to-head in Mountain West season where you liked, I think, UNLV. We went head-to-head on something in a Mountain West game and I won. I can't remember what it was.
We went head-to-head in UNLV, San Diego State, but we threaded the needle. We both got there.
No, I thought it was something different. I don't know. I'll have to look it up. I'll look at the tape. But yes, the last two contests we have had, you have been victorious. Well, we got to figure out how to grade it.
Well, I mean, if we submit the Huddle Report, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
All right.
Like, we'll get it graded for us, so we don't have to go through Britain's ridiculous rules that he would make up on the spot that would totally destroy the sense of competition.
Yeah, I don't think. I mean, Britain would be like, well, if you're in with 4.5 picks, you get point. Then it's a quarter point if you're within 7.5 in the right.
So we submit it to this, you know, mock draft god, and we come back with results.
All right. I want to run through some of the news and notes. Today was a busy day of a lot of speculation. What do you believe? What don't you believe? Maybe we'll do that on the other side of the break. But here's where I stand right now and the tweaks that I made in the top part of the draft. So 1, 2, 3 remain the same for me. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May. Caleb to the Bears. Jaden Daniels to the Commanders. Drake May to the Patriots. The Patriots won... I don't know. I mean, I'll stick with it. I'm not going to change it. But I think ultimately, as you alluded to with even number two with Washington, I don't know how you could sit here with oozing confidence outside of Albert Breer, who said today that he would be, quote, pretty surprised if it wasn't Williams 1, Daniels 2, May 3. And he said also in the same clip that he is – similarly confident that Jaden Daniels is going 2 and Caleb Williams as Caleb Williams going 1. So that's where I kind of landed on Jaden Daniels 2 and Drake May 3.
Sure. I think that makes sense. By the way, the best thing that you made about this mock draft is that the Colts get Brock Bowers. Very solid. Love it.
Trade it up, baby.
That's right. Look, I mean, I am the skeptic, right? Like, any single bit of information, I'll be skeptical. I think we've got a lot of track record that would tell us, like, you should be skeptical about pretty much anything that comes out, especially at this time. It's as we get closer to the draft, I believe, and if I had a war room, I would run it this way, and I think you would too, the tighter you get, right? So it's always interesting that more stuff comes out leading up to the draft when the reality should be you should probably be batting down the hatches and saying less or saying things that aren't true. So we'll see what ultimately becomes of it. And again, going back to like number two, it's the same thing that we've done with all of this, which is like there's so much around like Washington's very quiet, but we think it's Jaden Daniels, where I'm just going to be like, all right, let's just sit back and wait. Let's see what happens. But ultimately, what I really have a skepticism about is what you're talking about here with number three, which is if you're a team that is just so like, I think I'm using this word correctly, bereft of talent. Does that mean you don't have it? Whatever. I think New England, like you're looking to trade back. You're looking to add pieces. You're not looking to put a rookie quarterback in a situation that Justin Fields found himself in, which was a stripped down roster. And then he ended up stinking. And then we know what happened going forward. So that's the, as they say, the draft starts at three only because at the very least, I think what I know is that Washington's taking a quarterback.
And that Washington has said no thanks, but no thanks, reportedly, to all offers that have come their way. Because I think the silliest discussion is, well, you know, Las Vegas really likes Jaden Daniels. Cool. The Kansas City Chiefs could love Caleb Williams. What does that mean? Mm-hmm. Right? Like,
well, that's why I think
they're at 13.
If I'm
they got to get to two with a franchise that is desperate for a quarterback, they're not trading it.
We don't know that they have to get to two. That's why I think it's fascinating, right? So if I'm right in with my skepticism and they draft Drake May, all of a sudden all you know, everything's open. You know what I mean? Now all of a sudden the Raiders can move up to potentially go and get Jaden Daniels, you know, instead of this whole thing that we believe. So I think it's pretty fascinating. Again, I understand all the conversations. I actually do think it makes more sense than not that the Chargers would actually look to move up to get a Marvin Harrison Jr. before the Cardinals would, right? Like, there's so many different things that could happen. And then, of course, if you're the Patriots, you can get offensive linemen, you can get whatever you want. Heck, man, it's the Patriots. They can trade back down with the Chargers. Chargers get Marvin Harrison Jr. Byron Murphy the second goes to five. Like, who the heck knows what's going to happen at this point right now? But either way, it does seem that, like, three is the linchpin as to what happens. Obviously, two is interesting because if it's Drake May, then everything changes. But if it's how we expect at this point right now, Patriots are the one that can change everything.
The one thing that I am really intrigued by, because I put together a couple trades, as you see right there, I have the Jets trading up from 10 to 8. Shouts to Luke Swain. I thought that was an interesting ad. I had your Colts based on no information whatsoever. I just think Brock Bowers is a good fit for them. I may or may not have a little ticket on Bowers under 11.5, so I'm trying to speak that into existence. I think the Colts could get him at 15, potentially, if he drops. But there's been so much discussion lately. Bowers is going in the top 10. That I was like, all right, well, maybe the Colts trade up to get him. I know that the Broncos have interest, potentially, in Brock Bowers. So that's why I got a little creative, put in a couple trades.
Which, by the way, I like to make fun of you. You should. Nobody knows what they're doing.
Well, and this Peter Schrager said this today. He goes, I'm thinking there could be 10 or more trades under, please. Oh. Maybe not at the top.
I was gonna say 10 or more quarterbacks in the first round.
But once we get to 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 range, it sounds like things could get wild. And that's where I come back to what I did at number 5, where I gave the Chargers J.C. Latham, where we asked Mike Sanford yesterday, who has coached with Jim Harbaugh, and said he's the type of offensive lineman that would make sense. Then he did finish that thought with saying, I would not pick him at 5. I would try to trade him or draft him later, but he said stylistically, J.C. Latham, the tackle out of Alabama, makes a ton of sense. Daniel Jeremiah said that yesterday on Ryan Russillo's podcast. Peter Schrager just said that recently on his podcast as well, and his most recent mock has it there. So I think there's real smoke there that J.C. Latham, if the Chargers stay at 5, could be the guy. And it also brings me back to the Joe Alt discussion where we got into this belief of he's definitely the best tackle. Maybe, but why are we so sure that he's ultimately going to be the guy? So got a little creative there. Malik Nabers at 6, Joe Alt at 7, which has probably been the most mocked thing outside of Caleb Williams to the Bears at 1. And then the trade that I had was Roma Dunze going 8 to the Jets. And I think the Bears would take Rome Odunze at 9. So that's why I had the Jets jumping over him, jumping over them at 9. And apparently Rome Odunze and the Jets, there's a lot of interest there. Byron Murphy, the Texas defensive tackle, he would be the first defensive player off the board. He sits there at 9. Brock Bowers, 10. And then J.J. McCarthy, 11. I think what Paul Charchian said is true, and hopefully we'll have that video out shortly regarding what Minnesota will do, JVT, which is if it's Drake May at 3, who they have a connection to with Josh McCown coaching Drake May in high school and just a belief that he's a really good quarterback, at this point, maybe they just wait. And I think this is something you've pointed out. J.J. McCarthy is amongst big boards in that 20th range. Why do teams need to race up to trade for him?
I feel like the Josh McCown connection to a quarterback has gone awry in the past. I don't know if I want to bet based on that.
Does he want to play pickup basketball with Drake May?
As I said yesterday, that was when we got ridiculous with Drake. We're amping up the levels on it, and users are like, basketball. Like the did he ask him to play pickup hoops when he got to Carolina gate was awesome.
Some of the scuttlebutt that has been going on around the league today. What do we believe? What don't we believe? We've got a clip from Adam Schefter as well. Albert Breer, Tony Pauline, what they all had to say today. Jeremy Fowler. And also, what do we feel most confident about in our draft portfolios?
This is VSiN Primetime with Tim Murray and Jonathan Von Tobel on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is VSiN Primetime coming up in just a little bit. Nui Scruggs. Talk some Dallas Mavericks. Are you going to be all right?
Yeah, I think I'll be all right.
You all right?
It was heartbreaking. It was even...
Tears is over.
Even Isabel had to tell me yesterday. She's like, it's only game two. It's funny, too, because when they went up, they had a great sequence where Norm Powell hits a three from the wing, and Russell Westbrook was great off the bench for them again. And they go up by 6. And I turned and looked at her. I go, they're going to lose. I know they're going to lose. Like, this is just, it's too good to be true. They had taken the lead. They look great. And then the Mavericks went on a 13-0 run, and the rest is history. So, tough game, but I got faith. The best of 7. As I tweeted out yesterday, just rooting against Luka Doncic sucks, bro. He's so good.
He's really good.
He's so, and he, the crazy part about this, which we can bring up with Nui Scruggs too, is he was, I would say, borderline great on defense yesterday. He was
Did
great.
You hear the stat? And I'm stealing it from Brian Windhorst's podcast.
Sure.
And
I know which one you're referring
as
to.
As they alluded to, it was a little bit cherry-picking. But when he was the primary guard,
yeah,
Clippers were 2 of 17 from the field?
I don't know. I thought it was a little less than that. But regardless, like, they, look, and I think, one, he held up great. Like, he was awesome. They were letting them play physically, and he was using his body a ton defensively, which he deserves credit for. I also thought the Clippers weren't really doing themselves any favors. Like, they weren't bringing him into space and trying to blow by him. There was a lot of just, like, just working in isolation against him and trying to hit tough shots, so maybe that improves. But regardless, he deserves a ton of credit for the way he held up. Timmy played 46 minutes yesterday. They went after him multiple times. Like you said, if he defended 17 attempts,
I found the clip. So Tim McMahon tweeted it out. He goes, according to ESPN staff's information, the Clippers were 2 of 17 the floor when Luka Doncic was the primary defender.
Yep. So, like, he deserves a ton of credit. He was awesome yesterday on both ends. It'll be fascinating to see what the adjustment is. They started doubling him to get the ball out of his hands. It worked to a certain extent, asking others to beat them. But as we know, right, the old adage, role players tend to play better at home. So we'll see if you can double him and if that's going to work. But either way, I would say, regardless of what the result's going to be and what I hope will be, it looks like it's going to be a good series. And that's going to be awesome because that game was pretty fun last night. It was physical. It was gritty. I mean, 96-93. I mean, can you get people from the 90s? Everybody's like rising out of their graves. They're excited. This is what basketball should be.
So back to the NFL draft here, because something that we mentioned in earlier in the show was the over-under on quarterbacks and where it sits right now. And this has been quite the interesting journey because Chuck Esposito, who is often a guest on the program at Stations Casino here in Las Vegas, they were the first to market on a couple props, including over-under on quarterbacks. And they actually opened, I think it was minus 140?
Under, yeah.
To the under. I'm not exactly sure exactly where they offer, but it got as high as plus 260. We talked about it almost on a daily basis. Ultimately, we said, all right, Now's the time to jump in.
Wasn't almost. We've talked about it on a daily basis.
Yeah, we did talk about it on a daily basis. So we broke the diamond strong hands in order to grab plus 260. And then it started to go down. We started to feel good. Today, it went the other way. Whoop! Started to go back up, up, up. Right now, at this very moment, at DraftKings Sportsbook, the over-under on 4.5 quarterbacks is plus 260 to the under. So we can now jump back in, JVT, at the price that we once upon a time got. Adam Schefter.
Got 27 minutes.
Was on, where was he on? Pat McAfee show? Dan Patrick show. And this is what he had to say. What are you laughing about?
I'm just laughing at Britton. I don't know if he forgot the last name. All I heard in my ear was Dan.
Well, sometimes when we ask Britton a question, we need to remember that he can't, no one hears him. So we're like,
That's why I just laughed. Yeah. Sorry.
So as soon as he said Dan, I'm like, oh, Dan Patrick. So this was Adam Schefter on Dan Patrick's show regarding the quarterbacks and how many could go.
Here's the issue, Rich. Yes, okay. Uh-huh. Remember this tomorrow night.
Okay.
We got quarterback needy teams. Or teams with quarterback questions at 1, 2, 3, 6, 11, 12, 13. There are 7 in the first 13 that have some type of significant quarterback question. I could give you a few more teams behind them. The Rams, the Seahawks, the Cowboys that have their own quarterback questions, not to mention any others that are out there. There aren't enough quarterbacks to go around. There just aren't. So even if you're not as good, even if your grade is not as high, the chances are you're going to get elevated. And because of the need, the demand exceeds the supply. So based on that, I'm going to say we get 6 in the first round, including Michael Penix.
Okay. First off, Britton, what are you doing? My God almighty.
Hey. All right. In Britton's defense, two things. One, Rich Eisen does try to be Dan Patrick. Like, that show's kind of like, for a little bit, like a kind of mini Dan Patrick show. Second, who sent in that clip?
I didn't send it in.
Oh, okay, never mind. That, Britton, is that your fault? Yeah, that's your fault, Britton. Yep.
I thought it was Pat McAfee because they work for the same network.
My first point stands, though. Rich Eisen for a while tried to copy Dan Patrick's.
Rich Eisen show.
It's a good show. I've been on Rich Eisen show before. He wasn't in. Oh. It was a backup, but I was still on twice. Once from an airport.
Nice. Video?
No. Oh. On the phone. One of my career achievements. I got excited. It was an email. It said, do you want to be on the Rich Eisen show? I was like, yes. And they were like, it's not going to be Rich Eisen, though. I was like, oh, okay.
That's all right. So there you go. That is Adam Schefter regarding the quarterbacks. He says 6. I know Michael Lombardi earlier this morning with the guys on Follow the Money. He believes it will be 6 as well. Albert Breer said Denver has done its homework on Bo Nix.
Of course it has.
The Rams have also done their homework on Bo Nix. Michael Penix to go in the first round right now. I heard another one today, which was, I believe it was Daniel Jeremiah, who said, if the Vikings don't trade up. Now, it wasn't reporting. It was just more kind of in a conversation. Could draft Michael Penix over J.J. McCarthy at 11. Then we have the Raiders' love for Michael Penix, reportedly, at 13. I know where you stand, so I'll let you have the floor here because you have been steadfast for the past years.
Yeah.
That under is always the play. I fell into it a little. I didn't play the over last year, thankfully, but I fell into it last year. I fell into it a couple years ago with, I think it was, I had assumed, who was, I believe Malik Willis would be a first round pick, went in the third round.
Mm-hmm.
So why should this year be different than last year? Will Levis, who the day before the draft was an odds-on favorite to be the number 2 overall pick. 2 years ago, Malik Willis was a massive favorite to be the number 1 quarterback selected. We only saw 1 in the first round. Why is this year different?
I mean, I don't think it really is. And I'm no economist, so I will maybe sound stupid here. I think that the comparison here in terms of supply and demand ignores quality, right? So, for example, you could need a quarterback. Sure, I think that makes sense. There are teams that need quarterbacks. But would you forsake the value, right, or what you need to acquire said quarterback? A first-round pick is a commodity that you have to spend to go and get that. So would you spend a higher commodity to get lesser quality just because you need it, if that makes sense, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that doesn't vibe with what we have seen from these teams. And in the NFL draft in 2022, there were quarterback needy teams that evaluated these guys and said, yeah, we need a quarterback. It's still not worth it to reach on these guys in the first round, in the second round. And again, I will go back to this, the thought of doing this every single year as we have, Tim, which is we have seen that these teams are willing to kind of do what we've discussed, diamond strong hands. We don't need to reach. We don't have to do these sort of things. Because once you get past these top, like we'll call them four or five quarterbacks, you do get to quarterback needy teams, but it's not desperate need. It's not, we only have one quarterback on the roster and we need to fill the spot. The Broncos have their quarterbacks on the roster. They don't desperately need a guy this season. The Rams have a quarterback on their roster. They don't desperately need.
Also, the Rams haven't picked. And I think this is something we fall into. At the top of the draft, we know how it is important to have a really good quarterback. Obviously, the Bears, Washington, and we believe New England, and maybe someone else for that fourth pick. But as we've seen over the years, to your point, but also the Los Angeles Rams haven't had a first-round pick in 8 years. So when they finally get said first-round pick, they're going to go, you know what we're going to get? Let's get a backup quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And Green Bay did it with Jordan Love, and it's worked out. He sat on the bench for 3 years or whatever it was. But as Albert Breer pointed out, the Rams have done their homework on Bo Nix. Cool. They have a second-round pick. The Broncos want to trade down. Well, if they trade down, they're definitely going to pick Bo Nix in the 20s. Or they'll get a second-round pick that they could select, potentially, Bo Nix. I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy. And I know Diana Rossini said that the Zach Wilson trade was not for him to be the starter. Ah. He was definitely graded higher than Bo Nix was.
I don't think he's traded to be the starter. I think he's just a quarterback you can develop. By the way, I'm reading a 2022 mock draft with five quarterbacks going inside of the top 16. So.
How many went?
One in the first round.
What are the Dallas Cowboys, by the way, going to do? We'll ask Nui Scruggs and Luka Doncic. Defensive machine?
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If you use paper, you're a human. But if you choose paper, you're a papertarian. Someone who lives a paper-based lifestyle because it has a positive impact on the planet. And also because it's the easiest choice you'll make all day. Seriously. It's as easy as reaching for boxed instead of bottled water. It's as easy as opting for beauty products that come in paper packaging. It's as easy as grabbing eggs in a cardboard container. And that's all in one trip to the grocery store, which, if we're being honest, you were planning to go to anyway. But paper isn't just an easy choice. Papertarians know that it's the smart choice, too. Because paper comes from trees, a renewable and sustainably managed resource. And paper products are designed to be recycled. In fact, when you choose products that come in paper-based packaging, those fibers can go on to be recycled up to 7 times. So why wouldn't you go Papertarian? I'll wait. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
This is VSiN Primetime with Tim Murray and Jonathan Von Tobel on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Use code VSIN. New customers bet $5, get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code VSIN only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Going to talk some hockey top of the hour. Johnny Lazarus, our NHL analyst, will jump on the show as we get his thoughts. And JVT with new spired enthusiasm behind your Nashville Predators.
Yeah, goaltender issues for the Vancouver Canucks. A 4-1, 3-1 win, I can't remember yesterday, but a big one for the Preds. Let's do this thing, win this series. Come on, home ice, theirs.
There's also a big game tonight in Dallas, game two between the Vegas Golden Knights and the Dallas Stars, and that's where we head right now to bring in longtime anchor in Dallas. It is Nui Scruggs who joins us on a Progressive guest line. I'm not going to start with the Stars, Nui. I do want to a lot to get to. I'll leave the Mavericks chatter to Mr. Von Tobel. So I am in just tunnel vision on the NFL draft. So what's your feel right now sitting at 24? What type of player the Dallas Cowboys could be looking at there when they're on the clock tomorrow night?
They have to draft somebody that can play on the front lines. You have to address your front seven defensively. You have to address your offensive line. Your starting center is gone. Your starting left tackle is gone. Your starting one technique from last year's defense is gone. So they've got major holes to fill. The big question mark for me is, what do they do with one Tyler Smith? They drafted him to be their left tackle. I spoke to Will McClay about that last year because I said, Will, he's a really good guard. Do you leave him there, or do you eventually make him a left tackle, if, you know, depending on when Tyron leaves? And he said, we draft him to be our left tackle. They've not told us what they want to do. So what they do there is going to be very interesting. So when I hear and see all these mocks talking about them drafting a tackle, I wonder, will they really do that? So that's the first thing we got to figure out there. And they need a starting center. Defensively, they've been put out of the playoffs the last 3 years by teams who can run the football on them. Here comes Mike Zimmer. Zimmer likes big people up front. Think Kevin Williams. The Cowboys don't have that. That's not what Dan Quinn used. So they've got to go address beef up front and linebackers because Zimmer likes linebackers. He likes bigger guys. So the Cowboys don't have the things they need to give the defensive coordinator the type of defense he wants. And when Dan Quinn got here, they went out of their way to make sure they used a draft to give him the things he needed.
You know, the Cowboys have also been, it's been bandied about running back would likely be a target for them at some point. And we were getting reports in the last 30 minutes or so that they're meeting with Ezekiel Elliott to maybe put a finalization on a reunion. How would that affect where they target a running back, if at all, in this draft?
They can push it down.
Yeah.
So the Cowboys have had success in the fourth round with running backs through the years. Tashard Choice is a fourth round running back. Marion Barber, who was a Pro Bowler, he was a fourth round running back. Tony Pollard was a Pro Bowler, another fourth round running back. Problem is they don't have a fourth round pick this year because they went to San Francisco in the Trey Lance deal. So they've been able to find guys in the second rounds. They've got three picks, you know, in the top three rounds. I just feel like they've got to draft walk-in starters. If you want to take a running back and he's not a walk-in starter, to me, you can't use one of your top three picks there. If you draft a guy, and let's just say Xavier Worthy, Jonathan Brooks out of Texas, you take him in the second round. This guy needs to be a walk-in starter. That's what you've got to get with all your first three picks to the Cowboys.
Nui Scruggs joining us here on VSiN Primetime, sports anchor down in Dallas. Before we get to that Clippers-Mavs series, just your thoughts on, you know, you being there in Texas, and I'm kind of lumping it all together. I don't know if that's a fair way to look at it, but A.D. Mitchell and Xavier Worthy, what have you been hearing about their prospects of maybe being picked tomorrow? We know Worthy lit up the draft with his speed. A.D. Mitchell's been one who's kind of fallen a little bit. Who do you think, because this is a matchup out there at some sports books, who do you think gets picked first, Mitchell or Worthy tomorrow?
This is the part of the draft where the good teams are kind of holding back what it is they want.
Yep.
Do you want the speed? And if you want the speed, then Worthy's your guy, and you're not going to put it out there. Remember a couple years ago when the Raiders passed on CeeDee Lamb, Jefferson, and the kid from Alabama,
Devontae Smith,
who went to Denver? Yeah, they took Henry Ruggs. And Henry Ruggs, like, oh, you're a good player, but okay, but he's super fast. they wanted that. So that's that thing. And remember, Marvin Lewis took the kid John, what's his name? He was out of Washington. Fast.
Oh, John Ross.
John Ross. Yeah. He wanted speed. We didn't see it. Then it happened. And it was like, oh, okay. And so this whole time, I'm like, yeah, we want speed. So that's what Xavier Worthy, when I think about him, there's somebody sitting there like, oh, we want speed. So if you're thinking about a team, he's like, okay, who could use somebody that could fly? That's where I can kind of see a fit. If you're looking at the draft boards, you're trying to make a bet on that. Who could use speed? For some strange reason, the year John Ross went to Cincinnati, I had him in my mocks. So I felt good about that. I just think that we're going to see teams who value that. You look at what we see from Tyreek Hill. If you got a speed guy who can catch a couple balls here, it makes a difference. It changes how you have to play defenses. So I think Worthy will be a guy. I believe we'll hear his name in the first round.
All right, let's transition over to some hoops here. First off, we can talk about the result of last night, but I think Tim and I were throwing this around. A specific thing coming out of that game yesterday, Nui Luka Doncic as a defender, I thought was great yesterday. What did you see from him on that end? 46 minutes and playing a high level of basketball, both offensively and defensively.
Guy wants to win. At the end of the day, if they're going to win, he and Kyrie have to put together some semblances of defense. And if they don't, then they're going to get beat. And the playoffs are where this is where you make your name. This is where you go next level. And you see, this is what he wanted. And this is, if you're a Maverick fan, it's a pretty dang cool thing to see. Can you do it again? Okay. You did it once. Can you do it again? Because you're going to have to do it three more times if you want to get past the Clippers.
What's the latest on Daniel Gafford? Only played 9 minutes, was injured yesterday. What's the expectation 2 days from now when they play on Friday?
You know what? That's... I could see him definitely going Sunday. I think they got to make sure that he's ready to go, because what you don't want to do is have him go out here on a Friday and not be able to go full. So I could see him trying to hold him back for Sunday. Kind of like, think about what the Clippers did with Kawhi Leonard. Hey, sit game one, had him ready for game two. So let's see. And they're going to play it close to the vest. That's what Jason does here. But he definitely is a guy that they need. The defense changed with these guys that they brought in here. So we'll see.
Once again, Nui Scruggs joining us here on VSiN Primetime. So as we sit, it's 1-1. Series heads back to Dallas for this weekend. And, Nui, when you look at, how this series was thought prior to its starting, it was a lot of people, at least in our space, believe Dallas at the right time. They're going to take care of business, make it a run to the Western Conference Finals. Two games in, Oklahoma City, let's just say, before they play tonight, looked a bit vulnerable in game number one against New Orleans. How do you like Dallas's prospects after watching last night, seeing what we've seen so far from OKC about not only winning this series, but making a run potentially to the Western Conference Finals?
I don't even think about the next series around here.
What are you, a coach, Nui? Come on, man. You're one of us.
And because here's the deal. You're now trying to say you trust them to get out of this round and get past the Clippers. Trust requires three things: time, proof, and consistency. You haven't seen it. It's like we're talking about Luka. Man, he plays some good defense. But show me again. I can't trust you. Yep. I got to see it one more time. And through the years, this is a team in hell. Think about this town. Except for the Rangers last year, we spent the last decade watching teams joke. So show me you can go get it done. And while they did beat Phoenix in that game 7 a couple years ago to get themselves to the Western Conference, I got to see them get past the Clippers again, because Paul George can turn this thing on. Kawhi, he gets hot. I mean, dude, we've seen it. They have been a thorn in their sides here, man. So let's see you defend home court. All they went out there in Los Angeles did is steal a game one. They got their game plan. Defend home court. And in the past, they have not always done that. So that's why I'm not trusting. He's thinking about Oklahoma City. Show me you can win these next two games. Then we'll have another conversation, okay?
Yeah, everybody will remember the Game 6 performance for Kawhi in Dallas. It was absolutely dominant. Took it back to Game 7, and they ended up beating him last time they played. All right, last minute then with you, Nui. From an offensive standpoint, Doncic were great yesterday, but the offense as a whole really struggled in two games in L.A. Do you think that's just a road thing? They picked this thing back up back at home. What'd you make of their offensive performance in two games?
Every game, and then, yes, I will sound like a coach here, every game's different. Yeah. But I expect them to be really good when they get back here. The lesson will be start fast, play D, which they didn't do in game one. I think Kyrie's special. I know certain people had their own issues with him, man. If you just get Kyrie and Luka going and everybody else can just knock down some shots, guys like Tim Hardaway can knock down a shot here and there, they'll be fine. We know they can score. They'll be fine. I'm not worried about them. I actually think, to me, Sunday is going to be the biggest game of this series, in my opinion. I expect them to win Friday, but Sunday they got to go ahead and try and put capitalize on that, to capitalize and go up 3-1. They've got to do that because this Clippers team is too many veterans. They're too good to let them hang around. Thank you, guys.
There he is. Nui Scruggs. Always appreciate his insight. NBC Dallas. You know what's going to be fun? I wish we were live on the air. I think that board behind us right there is going to go dark in about 5 minutes. Get your draft bets in if you're in Nevada. Or elsewhere, you're fine. You got time.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.